do want to mention an article which I saw on the AP Wire concerning the recent revelation that the government has hired psychics to do remote viewing. Now, this is creating quite a controversy in the public arena. But what is most interesting is that it is an official endorsement by our government that they have and are engaged in what I have called esoteric technology. Now, this covers a considerable amount of ground in opening the doors for other startling proclamations, which I'm sure we'll hear a lot about in the very near future. But what really troubles me about this recent revelation is, why are we being told about it now? Especially since we have known for quite some time that it has been occurring, at least, you know, for several years. At least I know that for several years it's been occurring. But more disturbing to me is, why are we seeing so much of this activity within the UFO research community? Now, I can tell you that it has been brewing for quite some time, because in 1992, I attended a conference here in the Denver area sponsored by a group of people who actually sponsored such luminaries as Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III, retired. Now, Stubblebine was an Army Electronic Intelligence officer who was deeply involved in something better known as the Human Potential Movement. Also in attendance at this meeting was another high-ranking member of the intelligence community known as C.B. Scott Jones. Jones is retired naval intelligence and a close associate of Senator Claiborne Pell and Lawrence Rockefeller, a name which will come up in all sorts of places in the future. Now, at this conference, General Stubblebine stood before a captive audience and confessed to engaging in remote viewing as part of an Army classified project. And guess what? You got it. They were interested in remote viewing aliens and the 1947 Roswell event, at least privately, because Stubblebine was very, very careful to make sure that nothing could be construed as, you know, quote, official interest. But nevertheless, what really disturbs me is that wrapped up in all of this sticky sewage is another, or actually is other interesting flecks of so-called coincidence. General Stubblebine was involved with a civilian group called SciTech, which was comprised of ex-military intelligence people, namely Ed Dames. Now, where am I going with all of this? Well, we're going to see as time goes, but for tonight, let me say that General Stubblebine married into ufology by becoming Dr. Rima LeBeau's husband. Rima LeBeau is the psychiatrist who founded a well-known and rather large abduction research group known as TREAT, which stands for the Treatment and Recovery of Experienced Anomalous Trauma. Now, remote viewing, alien abductions, and intelligence organizations make very strange bedfellows, wouldn't you say? We shall see. I guess we will see, too. Okay, now my guest. My guest is a well-known researcher and author of a book on crop circles. His name is Colin Andrews. He was born on March the 7th, 1946, in Andover, Hampshire, England. He studied at the Southampton College of Technology, graduating in 1967 with a degree in electrical engineering. Colin founded Circles Phenomena Research, an organization dedicated to investigating this mystery, in 1983. Now, during this time, he met Pat Delgado, an electromechanical design engineer, working at the time for NASA, who was also researching the circles. In 1989, Pat and Colin co-authored the first book on the subject called Circular Evidence. Now, within weeks of publication, it was an international bestseller, selling 250,000 copies worldwide. It was selected for the prestigious Queen's Summer Reading List and was followed in 1990 with their second book, Crop Circles, The Latest Evidence. To date, Colin has amassed the largest database in the world on the subject and has lectured to university and private audiences worldwide. He has appeared in innumerable television and radio programs, including 2020, Unsolved Mysteries, Sightings, National Geographic, Current Affair, Good Morning America, and CNN, CBS, and ABC Television News. He continues to search for answers and is dedicated to presenting his findings to the interested public. And it is my pleasure to introduce Colin Andrews. Good evening, Colin, and thank you for being on the program tonight.
Good evening, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Okay, first of all, I teased the audience at the beginning of the program about a recent development that you were talking about that's occurring in the Republic of Czechoslovakia. Can you fill us in on that?
Yes, it was about, I suppose now probably 3 weeks ago, that I received a letter from a professor living in Czechoslovakia, the Republic of, informing me that there had been a major outbreak of crop circle activity across his country. And we were looking, he had sent, of course, maps of the country, pointing to the locations of these patterns and giving me sketches of the actual patterns concerned. It has come as really quite a surprise to me personally, with this database that I have, you know, looking at the worldwide situation, that there was such an intensive amount of activity in one country like that. Certainly because, primarily, we had hitherto been of the opinion that the vast majority, in fact 90% of the world total activity reports were coming from central southern England. Yet here we were, totally unaware of the fact that not only the phenomena was occurring in Czechoslovakia, but in fact it was covering the whole country. I mean, many hundreds of reports, and all of the patterns that we were seeing across in other countries are appearing also there in Czechoslovakia.
Okay. Please welcome back my guest, Colin Andrews. He is the author of Circular Evidence, and the latest publication that he has out is called Circles, The Latest Evidence. And welcome back, Colin. We were talking about the Republic of Czechoslovakia, but before we go any further into that, for the audience and for my own benefit, just tell us, what is, basically, what is a crop circle? I was pretty fascinated to find out that this phenomenon may be older than, you know, we originally had thought, but according to your research, in about 1970s, we started seeing them. But what are they, essentially?
Well, they are circular areas ranging in size from half of just 1 meter up to the largest single circle of about 300 feet, but patterns now that are appearing, circles connected by straight lines, sharing a common axis. That axis can be as wide as half a mile. We have now what started as circular areas initially, in which the plants, a whole range of vegetation, is bent over at right angles. There are no bends, there are no knuckling. There's no knuckling or damage to the plant in that bending process. They are bent over, they continue to grow, they're perfectly healthy. They are swirled in a Catherine wheel effect. And what, of course, is to this date, with now 12 years of research behind me personally, the big baffler in this whole thing is not only, of course, who or how are they being made, but how are the plants changing at the cellular anatomic level? And that's the scientific evidence that that indeed is what's occurring. So it's the whole range of vegetation, grass, cereal crops. Most of them actually are in cereal crops, wheat, barley, and oats. They're appearing in tobacco in this country, tobacco plants, rice paddy fields in Japan. There are a number, very small in number, but nonetheless, there are reports in snow cover, in ice, in Afghanistan, Turkey, indeed on the Charles River in Boston, getting on now, what was it, 2 years ago, January, a large array of circles, rings, and straight lines on the frozen Charles River outside of MIT, and so on. But we even have reports in conifer trees, and it's simply physically well beyond the possibilities of a hoax of the kind that the media generally have picked up on since two elderly men claimed to have made them some while ago.
Are you referring to, like, Doug and Dave?
That's the name I'm hearing a lot of, yes.
I have to agree with you that there's been a lot. Now, I know that there have been some, or correct me if I'm wrong, but I know that there have been some that have been hoaxed that look pretty good, but they don't quite stack up to what you're talking about.
No, that's right. In fact, it is obviously worthy of mention because the hoaxers have been teaching us some lessons in this whole investigation. I have myself made errors, and public errors at that. We've become, we had become somewhat confident in our early confidence to assess on the ground the difference between the genuine and the hoax. And, of course, that we were able to do initially, but the more cards you display that it basically give away publicly, the more the challenge is set for those people who want to hoax you, and of course you're giving them the ground rules. But the patterns have never ever compared those that are hoaxed with the phenomena that we have now been looking at for so many years. They can never be made without, for example, damaging the plants. if you walk into a ripened field of cereal crops or tobacco plants or rice paddy fields or whatever, you have to leave evidence of your entry and your exit. That's before you've even made the pattern. And there's overwhelming evidence. I have many, many aerial surveillance photographs that we've obtained ourselves and through my own government without any tracks whatsoever. There's no damage to the plants inside the crop circles. And, of course, they're not changed at the cellular anatomic level when people make them.
Okay, I want to get to that in more depth. But the first thing I want to ask you on this is, what's your take on this? Now, you just mentioned that you do not think they're hoaxes, but what about the possibility of some type of maybe man-made technology, aliens, dimensional phenomena? What's your take on it?
Well, that really is the bottom line. We've run through a very large list that was initially set, of course, as being possible contenders for this phenomena. But as the years have gone on, as the evidence has been stacked, I am personally very much obliged, I feel, based upon the data, to say that I believe, because the data suggests that I should believe, that the phenomena in some way is based in the realms of intelligence. These things clearly know the color of the ground vegetation. They know the boundaries that exist where, for example, where a field is sprayed with chemicals to enhance growth and yieldage, for example, frequently the line that the course that the tractor took across the field can be seen from the air. And the phenomena is choosing the color boundary following the line that the tractor took and the consequence of changing the actual degree of color in the plant by its chemical composition. That is being chosen by the phenomena to locate itself, and yet it can only be seen from the air. It cannot be seen at ground level, and they will also choose to run parallel to other ground features that we have placed there, like hedgerows and major highways. So there's every indication that the phenomena is intelligently based, but it's locating itself with optical appreciation. It can see what it's doing. And that, of course, must lead me to believe that the phenomena probably is coming from that particular arena.
A couple of years ago, there was some discussion, I believe, regarding the possibility of some type of advanced military technology like microwave type stuff. Has that been sufficiently, have you sufficiently discounted that?
Well, it hasn't been taken off the list, and there are a number of reasons for that. I personally do not believe that is where this is emanating from, and my reasoning in coming to that position is that, first of all, we have in central southern England, where most of this activity is occurring, the largest out of bounds to the public, military area in Europe.
Right.
It's called Salisbury Plain. And the public do not have access. It's very secure. And we have, the military have available to them a huge drawing board of receptive vegetation for such experimentation, which might emanate from airborne satellite techniques. But it is not the place that's chosen for the drawing board. It's in public areas, very close to, some of them are very close to major highways. And the phenomena we have now, very good evidence, began actually before 1946, but was occurring in the period prior to the airborne technology that you and I are now suggesting may or may not be involved.
Okay.
So my take on it is that this is not a military situation at all.
Okay. We're going to go to another break. Give us a call, 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is the very special Colin Andrews, author of Circular Evidence and Circles, the Latest Evidence, and a very fascinating subject. I'm myself getting quite an education on this tonight, crop circles. Colin, going back to the crop circles, the things you were telling us about before we went to break, what is some of the scientific evidence that you have seen? Now, you know, we've been talking about the intricacy of the patterns and things and the types of things that we're seeing happening. But you mentioned something about scientific evidence that you've collected that some of the biochemical aspects of this stuff has not changed or been changed.
Yes, that's right. In fact, just before the break, we were talking about the possibilities of airborne technology being involved. And we have certainly, in full answer to your point there and linking into this question, you were saying or asking, was microwave maybe involved? Well, whilst as I personally would discount the satellite technology, I would not discount microwave. There certainly seems to be evidence that the internal elements of the plants themselves, the moisture, has been extracted, removed from the plants during the construction phase. The scientific evidence now shows us that, has revealed that the cell pit walls inside the plants involved are fractured. That's certainly indicative of an internal increase in temperature.
Which is the way microwave works, right?
Yes, that's right.
Cooks from the inside out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And experiments in the laboratory can pretty well replicate a simple circle by rotating a dish with growing plants on, and you'll see a spiraled effect, the plants collapse. The difference is very much, though, that whereas the plants in the crop circles continue to grow perfectly well, inside the microwave experiments, they are dead. They die very, very quickly. But the plants, and this is actually is a major challenge to anybody listening who has an interest or an expertise in biology, and I would ask them to come forward with this if they have some ideas. We have no evidence from the eminent biophysicist in this country, Dr. Levengood, at the Pinelander Laboratories, that when seed, a grain from the cereal crops, are germinated from crop circles on four continents. When they're planted, they are actually germinating up to a maximum of 40% faster than the stock that they came from, the controls from the same field, unaffected. And their also root structure is much more extensive than the controls. They grow higher and more healthy than the controls. And yet they have been involved in clearly a high level of energy in placing them into this new position they suddenly found themselves in. That's some of the scientific evidence, but there is also now evidence coming from experiments conducted by my German colleagues showing that the electromagnetic field has been locally interfered with, and in fact a residual effect continues to be measurable from inside of the genuine crop circles for quite some time after the actual event.
Now, is this the thing where I've heard that there are incidents of radio interference and strange trilling sounds and things like that?
That's absolutely right. We're now beginning to see, with scientific support and assistance, that the effects that have been filmed in some cases with BBC television cameras being one particular prime example, researchers' equipment failing, as did the television camera fell, and at that time with that electromagnetic anomaly which existed whilst the television camera was rolling, we recorded a sound also. That sound has been heard. I've heard it three times myself, this 5.2 kilohertz in audible frequency. We're beginning to see the evidence now with the magnetometer surveys that are being conducted that indeed the magnetic field of usually about 5 Gauls in the northern hemisphere in that part of the world is exceeded by 300% inside the crop circles themselves. Of course, this too cannot be replicated by people hoaxing them.
Well, are there any theories? I mean, what can cause these kinds of anomalies?
Well, we don't have the answer, Michael.
Okay.
Absolutely, we don't have any idea. I can't give you an answer on that. I'm in touch with many scientists around the world on this, and we simply don't have the answer. I can't say any more than that.
Okay. I wanted to ask you this. A couple of years ago, I saw a video clip that I believe you were showing at a MUFON conference. It was a videotape that was taken by a couple, I believe, on a hill in England.
Yes.
It showed this small, looked like a spherical highly polished disc moving about a wheat field, and it moved across, and there was a guy on a tractor. Are you familiar with that video?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I handled that. It's shortly after it came out of a camera that it was filmed in. I was privileged to have the first generation for quite some months. We did a lot of work with that.
What was the outcome of that investigation?
Well, most of the work was carried out in Nihon University in Japan, and it is revealed with computer enhancement, and I think you agree, if your memory, you know, of what you saw at the MUFON conference was really one of the most intriguing pieces of film I've ever seen.
I agree it was. It was very interesting.
Absolutely intriguing. A small disc-shaped object, as you correctly say, highly polished in so much as the sun was reflecting off of its surface as it maneuvered through the heads of the wheat. It moved from one major crop pattern, which was already in the field. I'm sure it didn't make it, but it seemed to be showing an interest in it. It moved from one pattern to another. It then traversed up over the top of the tractor driver, who was about half a mile away, plowing his field quite innocently on a normal day. He turned his tractor to see this thing, and of course, as you know, it was actually on film as this happened, moved about 40 feet above his head over the top of his tractor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I traced that man and spoke to him, and he described seeing that same disc that their computer enhancement shows us, and it was within 40 feet of him. There was no sound. He talked of it moving in an intelligent fashion, and he was very close to it. We do now, though, Michael, have the same object, the same kind of object, on at least four other films. One that sightings have just recently transmitted, a film actually taken by one of your scientists, government scientists, who was with me last year on a team of eight, when two British Army helicopters attempted, it would seem, to try and encourage us off of the site. They were very close to our heads and our vehicle and were attempting to push us out of the area when they suddenly broke away from their position towards an object of exactly the same kind. It's all on film. It's as fascinating as the first film. The objects appear to be showing as great an interest in the crop circles as we ourselves are. We don't have any evidence that they're actually making them.
Okay. The thing I want to move to next is you know, keeping in mind now that you've got these impressive video footages of these things, have there been any connections made between those videos and those objects and crop circles?
In what respect, Michael?
As far as, has anyone observed a crop circle being formated?
Oh, I see. Sorry. Yes. I was asked by the SEAT group at the United Nations 3 years ago to reinvestigate those cases where people actually claim to have seen them form in front of their very eyes. There are actually more than 70 people now around the world who claim to have seen them during their construction phase, and it's a fascinating situation to talk with these people. I have to say, of the, I guess I've interviewed myself something like 30 of them personally, there's not barely a single common denominator. There are the witnesses' testimony ranges from an object in the sky, a bright ball of white light or orange light, beaming. A beam is seen emanating from it to ground level, where the pattern is seen to form. That's at the one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, and certainly greater numbers of people tending to describe nothing visible at all, in so much as there's not an object there to be seen, but there's a buzzing sound. The plants are seen to be bobbing and being whiplashed in a circular area, and then the plants suddenly spiraling and collapsing before their very eyes. There are, on occasions, there's a loud bang or an explosion, which is heard at the very moment the plants collapse. The only single element that they all agree on, all the people I've interviewed and those that have written to us, is the fact that they have witnessed the formation, a construction phase of less than 15 seconds.
Incredible.
So this is a very fast rapid situation.
Absolutely incredible. Now, I understand that these crop formations have some kind of a mathematical relationship, and I guess this even adds more to the mystery of the intelligence behind them, because does it appear that there are messages here?
Well, that's certainly quite a possibility. Professor Hawkins, Gerald Hawkins, who decoded Stonehenge and worked with the suburban level Jodrell Air Telescope, Space Telescope in England, he's now based in Washington and is working on this with me. He is an astronomer, a brilliant mathematician, a codebreaker, and he was the first man to discover that indeed there were consistent mathematical ratios here. Quite bizarre as it might sound, the mathematical ratios that exist in the physical scale, the sizes, dimensions of the crop circles and their component parts, where they're more complex, these more complex hieroglyphs, the ratios that exist between the areas of these component parts are exactly sharing the same mathematical ratio which exists between audible sound frequency when you press the chromatic notes on the piano board. It's the diatonic scale, the diatonic Western musical scale. If I, for example, trying to keep this as simple as I can, if you press C on your piano, you will get 296 megahertz in audible frequency, and then pressing the adjacent key, the ratio which exists between those two sounds in audible frequency is the same that exists in the physical sizes of the component parts of the crop circles. So that does give you quite a possibility of decoding a coded structure, because we can now place an alphanumeric value to the crop circles as they're appearing around the world.
Sounds like shades of Close Encounters of the Third Kind almost.
Doesn't it just?
It does. Now, let me ask you this. What efforts have been made, say, for example, now I would think that there's a I suspected for a long time that satellites could be playing a large part in observation or surveillance.
Yes.
Has anybody done this with satellites, used satellites to maybe observe a crop circle being formed or even before or after one?
I'm sure that's happened.
But not in the civilian sector, right?
No, not in the civilian sector. I've certainly tried to obtain information from the Spot French satellite and NASA too. And of course, this information is available at a tremendous cost, and it is unfortunately funds that I don't personally have. Michael, could I just correct something which is
sure.
Quite a serious error that I've just made?
Okay.
Before your listeners phone in. I did say megahertz on the audible frequency. It's actually hertz.
Okay.
So that I have that correct.
Okay. No problem. Let's talk real quick about the United States. Where are these? Are there circles occurring in the United States? And if so, where are they?
It's absolutely throughout. I showed at Madison Square Gardens the computer database record on this, and there are many hundreds. From the simplest to the most complex, right the way across the country. I mean, there are few states that don't have them. New York State seems to have a particularly strong concentration in the Herkimer area, but they are generally right the way across the U.S. Oregon, again, is a particularly hot spot, a particular hot spot. But they're appearing very generally. We became aware of the level of activity here when I did my first television programs with Unsolved Mysteries whilst I was back in England. They transmitted about 5 years ago the first programs, and immediately their switchboard became alight from farmers and landowners who'd already had these things and just simply didn't know who to report them to.
Okay. With the 1 minute we've got left before we got to go to break, what was the message from the British Minister of Defense that we heard about at the beginning of the hour, the major four-hour lecture
yes.
that you did at Madison Square Garden?
Well, Nick Pope, the Air Secretary at the Minister of Defense in London, was authorized about 6 weeks ago now to make a statement, and what he has publicly stated now is that there is indeed an important core phenomena with the crop circles, and went on to say that 5% of all UFO reports in England during the three-year period that he was in charge there were not only unexplained, but were probably of extraterrestrial origin. An absolutely astounding statement.
Absolutely. He said that?
Absolutely. He's absolutely on record that was filmed and recorded, of which I have records. I was actually with him when he said it, too.
Wow. Is there any reason that the British government is becoming so, you know, relaxed with their position?
Well, the position is that they only authorized this man to make that statement if he made it as a personal statement. But this, remember, this man was responsible up until just a few months ago for UK government policy on the UFO, and the official position is that UFOs do not even exist.
Right.
So this man has broken ranks with authorization to say what he wanted only if he gave it as a personal statement. And needless to say, he's now been moved to another post within the Ministry of Defense.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Problem is on the horizon, I think.
It sounds like it. Same thing like with our alien autopsy film. Well, while we were at break, my producer, who just returned from England about a week ago, business over there, he wrote a little note, stuck it up on the window here in the studio. It says, from the air, you can see a lot of circles in England. He's got roundabouts written in parentheses, and he says it's fitting that England would have the biggest share. I guess there really are things over there called roundabouts?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. That is perfectly correct. We have, where you would have a road junction, a crossroads, or an intersection, the way of keeping traffic moving there in recent years, they have now installed many of these roundabouts. They are circles. Well, they're actually rings, technically rings as opposed to circles. So the vehicles don't have to stop now. They simply move in gently into these roundabouts.
Of course, we know those are explained. We know those, right?
We
know the origin of those.
I guess we do.
The British Ministry of Transportation.
That is correct.
Colin, what are your plans in the future now for the group that you have, Circles Phenomena Research International? What are some of the things that you've got cooking, if you will, for the future?
Well, we have some pretty firm plans. We still have a great deal of work to do, you know, to move this thing forward. The first thing for next year is April or May, we're going down to Florida to play the 5.2 kilohertz sound, which is a very extraordinary sound, to the dolphins. We feel that there might be something there that is certainly worth pursuing. We're going to be playing that, and indeed, if any of your listeners might be interested in participating, if there are experts out there that feel they can help, I personally would love to hear from them. We will also be increasing our aerial surveillance. It is necessary because the landowners in England have absolutely up to the ears now with the large numbers of researchers and public that are entering these fields to see these very beautiful patterns.
Okay. I'm going to afraid that's the last word. Let me give your address to our audience. It's if you want to write to Colin, it's Circles Phenomena Research International, Post Office Box 3378, Post Office Box 3378, Branford, Branford, Connecticut, 06405. And Colin, I want to thank you. It's been a very fascinating hour. I've enjoyed it very much, and I want to have you back in a program in the future. So take care and keep us informed about what's going on out there, okay?
Thank you, Michael.
All right, thank you.